Well, shepherds watch their flocks by night. We're going to be talking about those shepherds this morning. So if you have your Bible with you, I'd ask you to open it up to two different places. You can put your one finger into Matthew chapter 2, Matthew 2, and then put your other finger in Luke chapter 2. We're going to be talking about a couple of different groups of people this morning, and we'll go from one to the other. So Matthew 2 and Luke 2, if you don't have a Bible with you, one's provided for you in the seat back right in front of you. It's always good to have God's Word open in front of you as we go through it. Now, more than probably any other holiday on the calendar, Christmas is known as a joyful holiday, as we've already even talked about this morning. On the one hand, our culture tells us that Christmas is a joyous time. It says, be happy, be joyful. We've got friends and family and food and presents. And Christmas is certainly characterized as a joyous time of year. And the Bible even describes the birth of Christ as a joyous occasion. The angel comes and he says, I bring you good news of great joy, he tells the shepherds. And unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. But on the other hand, although Christmas is supposed to be a joyful season, let's be frank, oftentimes it just really isn't, because it's often during those times that are supposed to be happy, supposed to be joyful, that we can end up feeling really stressed out, especially in Christmas, or maybe even frustrated. It can be a time when we feel our pain and our suffering most deeply. For instance, I know that there are people even in this room for whom this will be the first Christmas that they celebrate without a loved one who has passed away. And that's hard. It's hard to have joy, the joy of Christmas, when you're grieving a fresh loss. I also know that there are some people in this room who even today are wondering how they're supposed to have a good Christmas when their marriage or their family is in shambles. How do I have the joy of Christmas in my life when it seems like my spouse and I can't agree on anything and don't even come close to seeing eye to eye? How can I have the joy of Christmas in my life when my children have wandered so far away from our family and so far away from God even that it seems like they'll never return? That's very common, I think, for these supposedly joyful seasons of the year to instead kind of do the opposite and magnify all of the things in our lives that aren't going the way that we'd like them to. It's very easy during these supposedly joyful seasons to instead focus on our pain. So what I want to talk about this morning is the idea of Christmas joy. Christmas joy. And again, there are two groups of people that we read about in the Gospels that seem to be overcome with joy at the coming of Christ. So much so that they almost seem to pour joy forth out of their very being. So what was it that brought them this kind of joy? And again, those two groups of people are the men described in Matthew 2, which is the wise men, and the men described in Luke chapter 2, which is these shepherds. When all of these men came to where the baby Jesus was, they were overtaken with unspeakable joy. So look at Matthew 2, verse 10. It says, when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And then if you flip over to Luke 2, verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Why? What had these guys so excited? What was the source of their joy? Now, I'm going to be brutally honest with you here for a minute. I don't get very excited about babies. Babies in general don't do much to get me excited or feeling joyful. Now, my wife, on the other hand, will oftentimes go to the nursery to see if there's some new, fresh baby that she can snuggle and hold. You know, you will see her just kind of mingling down there, wanting to hold a baby, but not me. That's not something I'm going to do. And you know what? Probably not most men in general. We don't get too excited about babies. Now, my own kids certainly brought me joy. I had a ton of joy when my kids were born, and I'd take all kinds of pictures of them. I posted them on Facebook, and I titled the album, My Kids Are Cuter Than Yours, because they are. My kids bring me joy, but in general, I don't get very excited about babies. And I think that's probably true about the wise men and the shepherds as well. They probably didn't get very excited or joyful over the fact that they got to visit a baby. So what was it that had them so excited when they learned that Jesus had been born? Well, we're going to look closer at these two stories here of the wise men and the shepherds, and find the source of their joy, and then see how that instructs you and I. Now, first, the wise men. Who were the wise men? If you look back at Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" Now, it's thought that these wise men from the east probably had Jewish roots. They may have even been leftovers from the time of the dispersion when Israel was dragged off into captivity. There were pockets of Jews all over the known world at the time. And these wise men were probably Jews, familiar with the scripture, although they weren't technically from Israel. They knew, however, that the king of the Jews was coming, foretold by God. And when they saw this star as his sign, they traveled to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, so they could see him. They could see this king of the Jews. And so then they talked to Herod, the king of Israel at the time, and these wise men then head to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born and where he was residing. Now skip down to verse 9 of Matthew 2. "After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Now you have to notice something interesting here about these verses, and that is when the wise men, quote, rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It wasn't when they saw the baby Jesus. It wasn't when they gave him their gifts. It wasn't when they finally arrived at Bethlehem and now their long journey from the east is over, so now we can finally relax. No, none of those things brought them joy. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy when they saw the star, quote, "come to rest over the place where the child was." That was when they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, why is that a big deal? Why is that significant? Why is that something to get excited about? What is it about a star coming to rest over a certain small town that is so exciting and worth being joyful over? The answer comes back in verse 6 of Matthew 2. It says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." You see, the wise men, they weren't excited or joyful for any physical or material reason. Rather, their joy was based on the fact that God's word was true. God had said in his word through the prophets that a ruler and a shepherd for the people of Israel would come out of the town of Bethlehem, of Judah. And where did that star stop? Right over Bethlehem. So the reason the wise men rejoiced exceedingly with great joy was not because baby Jesus was so cute, but because God's word had been proven true. It was a sign of God's faithfulness to his word and his promises. It was a sign that he was going to do everything that he has said he would do. Exactly what God said would happen. That star coming over Bethlehem is exactly what did happen. And seeing that star come to rest over the town of Bethlehem was such a palpable and real illustration of God's faithfulness that these wise men just overflowed with joy. It was a sign to them, God is here. He is faithful. He has kept his promises. His word is true and right. And so they exceeded with great joy. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, excuse me. Think about that expression for just a minute, that they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You ever done that? Have you ever rejoiced exceedingly with great joy? When our son James was born, it was something of a harrowing experience. He came 6 weeks early, and Betsy was confined to bed rest for several days when we found out that his birth would be imminent. And it was somewhat touch and go, but things were looking good before his birth. And then when he was finally born, healthy and breathing, after he came out, I was there as well. And after I saw him, the only thing I could think to do was to throw my head back and laugh. There was nothing funny about it. I mean, it was actually, like I said, it was kind of a touch-and-go situation. He was premature. He was delivered, actually, in an operating room just in case something went wrong. And he ended up spending 3 weeks in the NICU after he was actually born. But there was something about this healthy, normal baby, normal birth, and the fact that I now had a son that just caused me to well up with such joy that the only thing I could think to do, literally, it was an involuntary response. All I could do was throw my head back and laugh. I'd never experienced anything like that before. And I was telling my family about this experience after the fact and how that had never happened to me before. I never had this uncontrollable urge to just laugh. And I was talking to my sister, and she said, "Yeah, that's called joy." And I thought, you're right. She's right. That is joy. This overwhelming desire to just bust out laughing. And that is what I think these wise men felt when they saw this star come to rest over Bethlehem. I think they had this uncontrollable urge to just bust out in joyful laughter. And the fascinating thing here is that the reason they bust out in joyful laughter is because they have seen, again, that God's word is true. He promised to send the Messiah, that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he did. And he was born in Bethlehem. The foundation for the exceeding joy of the wise men was not any physical or temporal blessing that they might have received, but instead was the reality that God's word is true. Just that knowledge brought them such joy that I imagine that they just busted out in joyful laughter when that star came to rest over Bethlehem. Where do the wise men get their joy? They get it from the knowledge that God's word is true. And then we look at the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, and their joy is almost identical to that of the wise men. If you look at Luke 2 verse 8, it says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night." Now, the shepherds don't get a star to follow. Instead, they get a chorus of angels. And an angel comes to them and says in verse 10, he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And then if you skip to verse 15, it says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." So let's summarize what happened here. These shepherds are in a region of Bethlehem. They're watching their sheep. They're minding their own business. When all of a sudden an angel comes to them and says, "Guess what? God has sent the Messiah, Christ the Lord, and to prove it to you, if you go to Bethlehem right now, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And the shepherds say to each other, "All right, let's go see if it's true." And when they come to Bethlehem, what do they find? They find Mary and Joseph and the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. They found exactly what God said they would find. And now the key verse in this section when it comes to the joy of the shepherds is verse 20. It says that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, look, as it had been told them. See, like the wise men, the shepherds probably weren't too excited about seeing a cute baby. Instead, their excitement, I think, was more founded on what this baby represented. God's word is true. He's faithful to do what he has promised. And this baby here is the incarnation of God's faithfulness. God's promises are right here, wrapped in swaddling cloths with skin on. God's faithfulness to his promises lying right here before us in this manger. You see, God had promised some 4,000 years previous to send his people a deliverer who would rescue them from sin, the sin that had separated them from God. And here he is. God did exactly what he said he would do. He kept his promise. The Messiah has come. He will fix our sin problem that has separated us from him ever since the Garden of Eden. He will bring us back to God through himself. And he will do all of this by living a perfect life, dying a perfect death on the cross for sinners. And then he'll come back to life and defeat death so that anyone who would put their faith and trust in him will find that solution to their sin problem. They will find salvation through him. God promised to do all of that. And now here is this little baby, the sign of the fulfillment of his promise. And not only that, but God also told these shepherds exactly where to go, exactly what to look for. And that's exactly what happened. God's word is true. He is faithful. He always keeps his promises. And just like the wise men rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, almost as if it were an involuntary response, the shepherds do the same thing. They go back to their pastures, but they just can't help but praise and glorify God on the way back. This is why the wise men and the shepherds were full of joy. This is why they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Not because of any temporal or circumstantial reason, but because the faithfulness of God's word had been proved. They had seen it with their own eyes. So listen, if you can't rejoice this Christmas because you are grieving a fresh loss, you can rejoice because God's word is true. If you can't rejoice this Christmas because your family is in shambles, or your marriage is falling apart, or your children are wayward, you can rejoice because God's word is true. He's faithful. He will keep his promises. And I'm not trying to trivialize what you're going through or the pain that you're feeling, but you need to remember that God's word is true, especially in the midst of what you're going through. You don't know what to do in your situation? He does. And whatever he says is right and true. You don't feel like you have the strength to make it? He does. And he has promised to give you his own strength, and his promises are always kept. And you have seen evidence of it. You don't feel like you could cry any more than you have this Christmas? Well, his word says that he is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And his word is true. And you can rejoice exceedingly with great joy because you have a God who keeps his promises. You know what? If you believe his word, it doesn't mean that the problems go or the sorrows go away, but it does mean that you have a new perspective, that God's word is true. Everything he said is right. Every way that he has promised to help and deliver, he will. And my prayer for you is that you will find exceedingly great joy in that reality, that God's word is true. Now listen. You can't find your joy in life in your circumstances or in your life experiences. Because you know what? If you do, then you will always be beaten down because, let's face it, life is hard. Marriages do fall apart. Families do crumble. Unexpected health diagnoses do come. Your body will break down. So if your joy in life is based on the condition of your marriage or your family or your health, then prepare to live in despair. Really. If your joy in life is derived from circumstances, then prepare to ride a torturous roller coaster of emotions. Because you know what? Circumstances change. Good things that are here go away, and bad things take their place. And sometimes life is downright miserable. So if your joy in life is based on the things that are going on in your life, prepare to be in despair. But those who trust in the Lord have a joy that's not derived from their circumstances, but on an unshaking and indestructible trust that God's word is true. Listen, no matter what comes down the pike in your life, you can rejoice exceedingly with great joy because you know that God's word is true. That was the joy of the wise men. That was the joy of the shepherds. And let that be your joy this Christmas and beyond. God is faithful. His word is true. And if you don't have this kind of joy in your life, you can. It's available to you. When that angel appeared to the shepherds, he said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The good news of the faithfulness of God is available for all people. Anyone can come to God through Christ and experience the joy of his faithfulness to his word. Through Christ, through repentance and faith, you can have the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that the punishment that you have deserved is paid in full by Jesus' death on the cross, and knowing that you can have eternal life. God has promised it, and his promises are true. What else is there to be joyful about than that glorious reality? And this joy, again, is for all people, no matter who you are or where you come from, no matter what debilitating circumstances you're in at this very moment, even if your suffering is self-inflicted, this joy is for you. Turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. And the faithful God who has promised to come to earth to save you and give you joy will do that very thing. And then you, like these wise men and these shepherds, will have unspeakable joy. And you know what? If this is true of your life already, then you know how to respond to this message. You follow the example of the shepherds and the wise men. You glorify and you praise God for all that you have heard and seen, just as it has been told to you. Remember, that's why the shepherds glorified and praised God, because everything happened just the way God said it would. Same thing is true with you. It's been told to you. If you know that God's word is true, then this is what should be welling up inside of you, that uncontrollable delight and desire to praise and glorify God. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you ever feel that way? I hope you do. I know I don't. Too often, I don't. Because it's easy to take God's faithfulness for granted, isn't it? It's easy to even have an entitlement mentality when it comes to God's faithfulness and his promises. Don't have that mentality. Don't have that attitude. Instead, allow yourself to be overwhelmed by the glorious truth that God is faithful. He will do what he has said he will do. He will be with you. He will strengthen you. He will provide for you. He will help you, because that's who he is, and that's what he said. And if you believe that, you truly believe that, literally, no other thing in this world should bring you more joy than that knowledge. So let that truth wash over you, and then respond like a shepherd. Glorify and praise God for all that you have seen and heard. The Christmas hymn says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." Let's pray. God, again, we do recognize that you are the source of our joy. And Lord, it's not in your many blessings that we find our joy. It's not in the goodness to us that you have shown that we find our joy. Although, Lord, all those things are good, but they are temporal. They are passing away. The things of this world are passing away. Lord, help us not to find our joy in things or in people or in experiences or circumstances, but help us to remember that the only form of lasting joy that can be found in our lives is the knowledge that you are faithful. Lord, would you open up this truth to us? Would you continue to open up your word to us? Lord, show us your promises. Show us your faithfulness in our lives and in your word. Lord, feed our minds and our brains with this knowledge that you are a faithful God to do what you have said. And Lord, may the joy that naturally comes from such a knowledge just overflow out of us. May it be clear to all who might look upon us that we are rejoicing. We are a people who rejoices with exceedingly great joy because we have a God who is ultimately faithful to his word. Lord, help us to rest in these certain truths. We ask it in your name. Amen.